Mills and their dealer organization throughout Southern Africa are proud to present another program in their current series, bringing you the African bushveld of today and yesterday in dramatized fact, fiction, and true life documentary. General Motors on Safari.
Visitors these days. Not another of those nature conservation people, I hope. Three of them. Look as though they're dressed for a Hollywood safari. American, I should think. Nice looking girl. Now, that's not a face I remember. He certainly walks like an American. Probably lost his way. I wonder what they're doing in this part of the world. Oh, good day to you.
Morning, sir. My name is Rod Stevenson.
How do you do? I
know who you are, sir. Harry Granger.
Have we, I don't seem to recall...
No, we've never met before. May I come in?
Of course. Oh, I'm sorry. Your friends?
Oh, they can hang on there in the truck. This won't take long. No, sir, you don't know me, but you knew my father.
Your father?
That's right. Titus Stevenson, 1938. Exactly 30 years ago, right?
Titus Stevenson? Yes, of course. He was the first American I ever took on safari. Well, I'll be... And you're his son.
That's right. I'm told I look just like the old man.
Yes. Now, as you come to mention it, there is a resemblance. I remember your father well. Titus Stevenson. That takes me back.
Yeah, well, I've come to see you, sir, because my father told me that if ever I went to Kenya on safari, there was only one white hunter worthy of the name, Harry Granger.
There was a moment's silence as the old white hunter and the eager young American looked at each other. In that moment, memories of Titus Stevenson came crowding back into Harry's mind, the tall, dignified, slow-speaking Bostonian who had been his first American client in the days when Harry Granger had been the best white hunter of them all. And that was 30 years ago. And as Harry was fond of quoting, age with stealing steps hath clawed me in his clutch.
Safari. Will you take us out?
Mr. Stevenson, I am flattered. But I'm an old man now. I haven't been hunting for a long time. I live pretty quietly here. I've got a little private game reserve, but the time has passed when I could take you on safari.
Well, all I can say, Mr. Granger, is that if I asked anyone else, my father would never forgive me. Look, I've got two friends with me. There's Paul Devine and my fiancée, Jane. Never been out of America before. We're not too ambitious. We're not looking for trophies. Just want to get an impression of life in the bush. Now, come on, how about it, huh?
It's a responsibility, taking people on safari. I don't think I'm up to it, you know, Mr. Stevenson.
You don't lose the knack so quickly. The bush doesn't change. As I say, we're not going after anything big. I shouldn't imagine that there are many people who know the Kenyan bush as well as you, Mr. Granger.
True. All right, Mr. Stevenson. I'll do it. Positively my last appearance. Now, when do you want to start?
Well, as soon as possible.
Right. I need a day to get organized. Then I'll take you on a safari that you'll remember for the rest of your days. We'll go to Baragora.
Baragora?
Yes, it's not far from here. In the Samburu tongue, Baragora means the end of the world.
Well,
why, I call it the end of the world. What do the people here live on, Mr. Granger?
A man's wealth is reckoned by his cattle, Mr. Devine.
It doesn't look as if there would be enough to graze on in this barren wilderness.
The cattle seem to thrive. The Samburu have no other talents except to look after their cattle. Apart from that, the men simply stand around looking like the Hollywood idea of the noble savage. They haven't fought any battles for years, but they look like warriors.
Are they nomads, Mr. Granger?
In a way, Miss...
I think it would be simpler if you just called me Jane.
Jane. They are nomads, but they always come back to the same grazing grounds. The Samburu were originally part of the Maasai tribe, but they decided to stay in this part of the world while their Maasai brothers wander all over Kenya and Tanganyika.
What does Samburu mean?
Samburu is the Maasai word for butterfly.
Oh, look! There's a little hut and a kitchen garden.
Do you know who lives there? A Kikuyu woman who married a Samburu. The Samburu would never bother about cultivating the land. But this one married Kikuyu. And he is the only Samburu with vegetables of his own in the whole territory. Won't be long now.
Is this dangerous country? I mean, are there many wild animals about?
Well, I don't know about dangerous. It's certainly wild. You'll probably see elephant and leopard, possibly a rhino or two.
Oh, sounds exciting. Harry, you must tell us about some of your adventures while we're sitting around the campfire.
No better way to bore one's trance. Ah, here we are. I think we'll stop here to pick up our supplies.
The last stop before Baragora. The end of the world. And Harry, happy to be back in the saddle, went about the business of organizing his safari. He was happiest when in the bush, pitting his strength, his will, his experience against hostile nature. To him, the landmarks were familiar, the sights and sounds and smells of Africa, as civilization gave way to a landscape that has remained unchanged for thousands of years. Journey into an unknown world. For Harry, it was like coming home. In his mind, he identified every sound, singled out each bird call, and despite his remarks about boring his clients, he sat with them round the campfire, reminiscing about life in the bush.
I don't think he ever got over that shock. Never came back to Kenya anyway.
What was that?
Oh, that's a hyrax. Strange sound, isn't it?
A hyrax?
Yes, it's a small, furry creature. Surprisingly enough, its nearest relation in the animal world is supposed to be the elephant.
This is absolutely fascinating. I never thought there would be so much noise.
Do you ever hunt at night, Harry?
Sometimes. But you'll find that in most hunting areas, it's forbidden to shoot after nightfall. This is because some so-called hunters used to blind the animals with lights. I picked them off while they were still hypnotized by the glare.
Tell me, what do we have license for, Harry?
Oh, for elephant, lion, and duck.
Do you mean to tell me that if we come across any other animal, we can't shoot?
That's right, Jane. We've got to protect the wildlife. Can't just have people shooting indiscriminately.
Well, that must be frustrating. I mean, if you come across an elephant when you haven't got a license to shoot it.
It can indeed. I remember once at Marangora on the Zambezi. We left some bait for a lion. Knew it was in that area. Heard it every night. We tied this bait to a tree. Worked out our line of approach. But when we crept back at first light, it wasn't a lion that was devouring the bait. It was a leopard. There we were, helpless. No license to shoot a leopard. All we could do was...
The fire burnt lower. The conversation became more spasmodic. And at length, the three Americans retired to their tents. Harry moved his sleeping bag near the fire and lay for a long time staring at the blood-red moon, listening to the sounds of the night as they enveloped the camp. When day broke, Harry was up. He rekindled the dying embers and made coffee.
Oh, it's cold. Let me get near that fire. Good morning, Harry.
Good morning, Jane. Have some coffee.
Thank you, I will.
There you are. Sleep well?
Woke up at every new sound, though.
Oh, morning, Jane. Morning, Harry.
Good morning.
Hey, morning, everyone. Tell me, what are the plans for today, Harry?
Well, I thought we'd take a leisurely look round, Rod. See if there's much gain here. Used to be. If there is, we'll make this our base camp. If not, we'll move on.
That sounds just fine.
Well, I think we should get started as soon as possible. This is the best time to stop the game.
Wrapped in sweaters, the party clambered onto the open truck and drove off. Birds flew up out of their pots as they bumped along the track.
Look! Over there!
They can't be dogs.
They are, Paul. Wild dogs.
Oh, they look sweet.
They're probably the most vicious animals in the bush. They hunt in packs. They can bring anything down.
See? Over there. Rhino.
Oh! What an enormous brute!
Yeah, I wouldn't like to meet him on a dark night, huh?
I've been chased by a rhino more than once. Safe. Now, we'd better check our rattles before we start. Would you like to take the water bottle, Jane? And perhaps you can grab some oranges. They're in the back there.
Okay.
Harry led the way, walking slowly, deliberately, occasionally circling as he followed the elephant spoor through the bush. Rod followed him, then Jane, with Paul bringing up the rear.
Now, you see this? Droppings. And they're pretty fresh.
What happens if we come face to face with him?
Well, that's unlikely. Unless he doubles back in his tracks. Besides, elephants are notoriously short-sighted. They rely on their sense of smell. Come on.
On his heels, and he wasn't going to let the young American down. But he was glad when Jane suggested they rest.
Oh, I didn't realize that there was so much walking involved. Can we rest for a minute?
Of course, darling. Is that okay, Harry?
It's all right by me.
I must admit, I had a different picture of big game hunting. I thought the animals came to you.
No, they wisely keep their distance, Paul. Well, let's have an orange each, and then we'll push on.
The bush was thicker now, and when they started off again, they were plagued with flies. The rifles weighed heavier and heavier. Jane and Paul fell further and further behind, and then, suddenly, Harry stopped dead in his tracks. He motioned the others to keep still.
What is it, Harry? I can't see anything.
Look. Straight ahead.
Then Rod saw the colossal gray back arched above the bush some 50 yards away.
Now just stay still. We'll wait and see what he's going to do.
Hey, he's a beaut. Look at those tusks, will you?
You want to shoot it?
Somehow it
seems... Yes, I know. It's different when you're face to face with a savage animal, your life or his. But when he's just peacefully browsing...
And they waited. Waited. The heat was stifling. Carefully, they shifted their position from time to time, and still the elephant stood, placidly eating, blissfully unaware of the hunters.
The wind's changing, Rod. He'll smell us soon. Do you want to take him or not? All right. Now, you two stay there. Don't move. Rod, let's go.
Between the elephant and the hunters, there was a large anthill. Slowly, stealthily, they crawled towards it. The elephant was restless now. Perhaps it got their scent. As they reached the anthill, he began ambling slowly towards them.
Now, take it slowly, Rod. Only a brain or spinal shot will stop him in his tracks.
Right. Here we go.
The elephant came nearer. Now he knew that something was amiss. His ears were flapping. His trunk was held high. He moved faster.
Now!
Harry, I missed!
The elephant looked as though he was sleeping. He'd pitched forward on his forequarters, his massive legs tucked under him.
Right through the brain. That's quite a shot, Harry.
You learned more about people on a hunting trip than at any other time. In the bush, men were quickly stripped of their pretensions, reduced to their true stature. Until now, he had not thought deeply about Rod Stevenson, but that night round the campfire, it began to dawn on him that all was not well with his eager young American.
What do you think of our chances of getting land, Harry?
Well, it's difficult to say, Rod. Luck plays a large part in hunting.
You mean to say you want to try again, Rod? Isn't an elephant enough?
I didn't get the elephant. Harry did.
I'm aware of that. You're not made for this kind of life, Rod. You need good nerves.
Even the best hunters can get nervous when they're charged by an elephant, Jane.
I don't know what you're trying to prove.
I must admit, I agree with Jane. I don't see any point in this kind of killing.
If we start talking about the mystique of hunting, we'll be here till doomsday.
Oh, yeah, you're probably right. Oh, well, I'm going to turn in. Night, all.
Night.
Yeah, good night, Jane.
Good night.
I think I'll turn in as well. Good night.
Night.
Good night.
Well, I think this is just about the end of the line for Jane and me.
Oh, perhaps she's a little on edge after this morning. The bush can affect women in strange ways, you know.
No, it's more than that. We've been drifting further and further apart. On the trip over, we spent most of our time quarreling. Paul took her part, which didn't make matters any easier.
How does he fit in?
Well, he's my best friend. We were at college together and wanted to see Africa, so I invited him along. Intelligent guy, but not exactly the outdoor type.
And do you think that they...
Well, I don't know, Harry. I just don't know.
One of the pleasures of being old is that one no longer cares so much. One gets life into perspective, I suppose. That's it.
Well, I care, Harry. Very much.
Rod and Harry sat staring into the fire, and then the old white hunter turned in. Rod, unable to sleep, wandered off into the bush, and Paul, who'd been watching through the flap in his tent, made his way quietly to Jane's tent.
Jane? Jane? Are you awake?
Come along in. Where's Rod?
He's wandered off into the night. Oh, darling.
Oh, if only we could be alone for a moment.
Why didn't we tell Rod?
Oh, no, not yet.
But Jane, we can't go on like this. Rod's my best friend.
Not yet, Paul. I'll tell him when the time comes. What a performance this morning. He's like an overgrown Boy Scout.
Jane, I must go. Good night, darling.
Good night, Paul.
No one slept that night. Jane was wondering whether she was prepared to give up the wealth and security that Rod offered. Paul was worried about deceiving his best friend, and Rod hardly slept at all. gathered round the fire to discuss the day's plans.
Well, if you plan on staying for only a few more days, I suggest we go after Lion. We've got our elephant, and we'll see plenty of buck. But Lion may be more difficult.
Okay, Harry, how about you, Paul?
I'll stay at the camp. I've letters to write.
Yeah, I'll join you two, if I may.
Good. Well, then, let's get going, huh?
They drove out along the same track. And they drove for 10 miles without seeing any spoor. The bush gave way to open plains, and then they came to a dry river bed.
Let's walk along the riverbed. We may pick up some spoor.
They set out on foot, and half a mile further on, Harry suddenly stopped.
Look. Vultures. There must be a kill.
There, at the side of the river bed, was the remains of an antelope, and leading away from the carcass, the spoor of a lion.
We're in luck, huh?
Looks as though it wasn't so very long ago that he was feeding here. Probably moved off into the bush to sleep. Let's go.
They move slowly towards the bank. A sudden movement in the bush and... Paul started running.
Cut back, you fool!
The lion bounded out of the bush and made straight for the stumbling figure of Paul.
No, no, don't shoot. You may hit him. Come on.
There was only 5 yards now between the lion and Paul. Then Paul turned and stood his ground. He was trembling with fear, but he knew that if he ran any further, the lion would pounce on his back. Harry and Rod stood frozen in their tracks. Then...
Rod, you walk around that way. Now, slowly now, so that the lion is not between you and Paul. You may just make it.
The lion and Paul stood staring at each other. Sweat was pouring down Paul's face as he gazed into the yellow eyes. Rod moved slowly round, praying that the lion would not pounce before he was near enough.
Slowly, does it. Nearly there.
At last, he could shoot without danger of hitting Paul. He raised his rifle, and at that moment, the lion jumped.
I made it.
Well done, Rod. A beautiful shot. You all right, Paul?
Yeah, I guess I'm all right. Thanks, Rod. That was quite a performance.
Certainly lived up to my father's testimony.
He must have a very good memory. I am glad we went out together. What's happened between you and Jane?
Well, it's all over. I think both Paul and I realize that Jane's not worth it. She's going back to the States and we're going off to Nairobi to celebrate.
Celebrate?
Yeah. I think this chapter of our life having come to a close, we should celebrate. Sorry you can't be with us.
Yes, I'm sorry too, but... I don't really like city life. Get restless even after a day. Goodbye, Rod, and good luck.
Bye, Harry, and thanks.
Harry watched the tall young American stride out to the truck, then turned back into his house. He was glad he'd gone on safari again, but suddenly he felt old and tired.
For age with stealing steps hath clawed me in his clutch.
Join us again next week for another story of the African bushveld. It might be fact, it might be fiction, in General Motors on Safari.